And now we continue with the Christmas story from Luke's Gospel. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you so much for the holy story of your son's birth. And we ask, O Lord, this evening that you would be with us, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth as I strive to share your word and your word is proclaimed. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. As we gather for Christmas Eve, we have the opportunity again to hear that sacred story, the story of Jesus' birth, a story of great miracle and great mystery, a story that we have heard so many times that perhaps some of us even know it by heart. But because we know it so well, sometimes it's lost the sense of importance, the depth of mystery, the depth of how important this story is, not only for the world, but for each and every one of us. Think for a moment about all the other kinds of Christmas stories that you hear. There's Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, and all the offshoots of that. Like every single agency has created a Christmas Carol. You have the Muppets, you have the Disney, you have Scrooged. So there's all a variety of ways that that story is retold year after year. We've got the Christmas story that's a cult favorite where Ralphie longs for his Red Ryder BB gun and finally in the end receives his gift. We've got Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation that reminds us of how crazy some of our Christmas traditions have become. And then we've got Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is probably one of my favorite Christmas stories other than the Gospel according to Luke. Lifetime and Hallmark have taken Christmas stories to another extreme. There's all kinds of stories about romantic love and holiday adventures, as if that were the Christmas miracle. And then there are all of the Santa stories, the stories of Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3. We've got Elf. We've got Miracle on 34th Street. We've got a whole genre of Santa Claus stories that were built on the one tradition of St. Nicholas, who actually did give gifts to the poor children in his community. You've got the Polar Express, and you probably have been thinking in your mind of other Christmas stories that are a part of your Christmas tradition. One of my daughters loves White Christmas. That's her Christmas story. She loves that. There's some short stories that also are important to our Christmas traditions. There's O. Henry's short story, The Gift of the Magi, where a young married couple want to give the best gift to their spouse, only to find out that the other has sacrificed what was most important to them. And then there's Henry Van Dyke's The Other Wise Men, how someone who was to travel with the Magi takes a detour and ends up giving his gift away on the journey. Why do you think there are so many other Christmas stories that are built on our Christmas story. I think perhaps it's because it's so hard to find a way to make real the miracle of the incarnation, the miracle of God becoming human, the miracle and the mystery of God sending his very son to save each and every one of us. I think it's very hard for us to encapsulate that story in a way that a new generation can understand it. So a whole variety of different Christmas stories develop to try to help us to know what great love God had that he might indeed save each and every one of us. For truly, the Christmas miracle is that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son so that whoever, that anyone who believes in him might not perish, but would have the promise of eternal life. Indeed, that gift of God sending his only son was so that we would be saved, not condemned. So we want to hear again the real Christmas story. We want to know that Christmas story. We want to know it by heart. We want to be able to hear that story so that we can tell it to one another. We want to tell the stories of Christmas. Tell me the stories of Christmas I love to hear. Stories of shepherds and angels sharing the news. Stories of wise men bringing their gifts. Stories of Christmas I need to hear. First, let me hear how the baby came to the world. Scenes of that sparse little stable where he was born. Mary and Joseph, parents were they, parents of Christ child, God's gift today. Tell me the stories of Christmas, that truth might be told. Not only Santas and reindeer, but love truly made whole. Stories of Christmas, stories of love, stories of Jesus, God's greatest love. Tell me the stories of Christmas. Stories of Christmas I love to hear. Stories of shepherds and angels sharing the news. Stories of wise men bringing their gifts. Stories of Christmas I need to hear. We need to hear those stories of Christmas. We need to have a deeper understanding of how important that event was, that God loved us that much. I'd like to close with a story. It's not a scriptural story, but it's a story that helps us understand how we struggle to understand, how we struggle to make sense of things like the incarnation and Gabriel coming to Mary and how important that gift was. And it's a story that's entitled The Geese. And maybe some of you have heard this story before. There once was a man who didn't believe in the incarnation of or the spiritual meaning of Christmas, and he was even very skeptical about God. He and his family lived in a farm community. His wife was a devout believer and diligently raised her children in her faith. He sometimes gave her a hard time about her faith, and he mocked her religious observances of Christmas. One snowy Christmas Eve, she was taking the kids to the Christmas Eve service at her church. She pleaded with him to come, but he firmly refused. He ridiculed the idea of the incarnation of Christ, and he dismissed it as nonsense. Why would God lower himself and become a human like us? It's such a ridiculous story, he said. So she and the children left for church while he stayed home. After they left, the winds grew stronger and the snow turned into a blizzard. As he looked out the window, all he saw was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down to relax before the fire for the evening. Then he heard a loud thump, something hitting against the window, and then another thump. He looked outside, but he couldn't see. So he ventured outside to see. In the field near his house, he saw, of all the strangest things, a flock of geese. They were apparently flying to look for a warmer area down south, but they got caught in that snowstorm. The snow had become too blinding and violent for the geese to fly or see their way. They were lost and stranded on his farm with no food or shelter. They just fluttered their wings and they flew around in circles around the field blindly and aimlessly. The man had compassion for them and he wanted to help them. And he thought to himself, the barn would be a great place for them to stay. It's warm and safe. Surely they could spend the night and wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn and he opened the barn doors for them. He waited, he watched them, hoping they would notice the open barn and go inside. But they just fluttered around aimlessly and didn't notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. He moved closer toward them to get their attention, but they just moved away from him out of fear. He went into the house and came back out with some bread. He broke it up and he made a bread trail leading to the barn, and they still didn't catch on. Starting to get frustrated, he went over and tried to shoo them, run after them, and chase them towards the barn. They only got scared and scattered into every direction except toward the barn. Nothing he did could get them to go into the barn where there was warmth, safety, and shelter. Feeling totally frustrated, he exclaimed, "Why don't they follow me? Can't they see this is the only place where they can survive the storm? How can I possibly get them into the one place to save them?" He thought for a moment and realized that they just won't follow a human. He said to himself, "How can I possibly save them? The only way would be for me to become like those geese. If only I could become like one of them, then I could save them. They would follow me, and I would leave them to safety." He stood silently for a moment as the words that he had just said reverberated back to himself in his mind. If only I could become like one of them, then I could save them. He thought about his words and remembered what he said to his wife. Why would God want to be like us? That's so ridiculous. Something finally clicked in his mind as he put these two together. It was like a revelation, and he began to understand the incarnation. We were like the geese, blind, gone astray, perishing. God became like us so he could show us the way and make a way available to save us. And that is the meaning of Christmas, he realized in his heart. As the winds and blinding snow abated, his heart became quiet, and he pondered this thought. He now understood what Christmas was all about. He knew why Christ had come. And suddenly years of doubt and disbelief were shattered as he humbly and tearfully bowed down in the snow and embraced the true meaning of Christmas. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son to be like one of us so that we might know the truth, that we might know God's love. Amen.